Welcome to the Recruiter Startup Podcast. My name is Dolta Doherty, and in this podcast series, I will be discussing how to set up, scale, and operate a world-class recruitment company. I hope you're all having a great start to the new year and kind of getting into it and catching up with everything and trying to produce a ton of content, which has been great fun. I'm experimenting with a couple of different things. I'm going to be shortening some episodes of the podcast. So I'm bringing on some people that I've had on before, but we're just going to cover a specific topic. And today I have Alex Moyle, who is the recruitment trainer extraordinaire based here in the UK. And I've pitched him a couple of questions to get through. And we had a quick 20-minute chat about how to set up a desk from scratch. And if you're a manager and you're bringing in a rookie, how do you go about that? And it was really great. Very much a traditional recruitment training session, not like a lot of the marketing ones that I've been doing. So that's why I wanted to really balance it out. Alex knows the marketing stuff as well, but he has spent a career training thousands of recruiters in the UK and comes from that real Robert Half, old school, amazing training background. So hope you all enjoy it and let me know what you think. And if you're enjoying the new format as well, we will continue to do the longer podcasts as well. But just thought we could grab a wee bit more value for you all, especially, you know, those people who are looking to set up this year by themselves. All right. Take care and let me know what you think.
Alex Moyle, how are you?
Yeah, very good, thanks. Very good. Yourself?
Yeah, very good. Happy New Year to you.
Happy New Year to you too. I'm pleased to be back, but I'm sure there's plenty of other people that are probably not as excited. So
I'm delighted to be back. Childcare was sporadic and next week nursery begins.
Yeah. Remember, yeah. I'm not sure you can call it childcare when it's your own kids. I think that's just called parenting. Like I used to say to my wife, I used to go, hey, I'm babysitting tonight. And she goes, no, you're just doing your job.
Yeah, you're parenting.
Yeah, exactly.
So any big goals for the new year?
Well, I'm launching a new sort of venture in the next few weeks, which is an online community for recruitment leaders called The Recruiting Gym. And that's a place where sort of I get asked a lot of questions day to day on like, how do you do this? How do you do that? So I'm sort of creating a space where people that don't want a trainer to come in, but want someone to ask a question can do that. And obviously it's a community site so people can ask and benefit from the wisdom of the crowd as well.
Big market for that. Well done.
Yeah. So we'll see how it goes. But we're kicking off with the A to Z of recruiting success. So it should be good fun. So just got to pay the bills, keep the mortgage and keep the wife happy. So only small goals other than that.
Absolutely. Well, I suppose this is just another one of those questions that I'm going to ask. So I'm experimenting with a little bit of a new format and I'm still doing the long form podcasts because, you know, we enjoy them. But I'm also trying to get some people on, maybe they've been on before, maybe they haven't, and just to grab that one bit of information that people are always asking me for. And the bit I want to ask you is a two-part question. So the first is, I want to put you in a scenario. So you've just joined a medium-sized agency and your manager's just left and you're not having a lot of guidance and you're on a desk that you're not sure what a warm desk or a cold desk even means. What do you do to get that up and running? What would your advice be to that person?
To the individual, as the recruiter or the manager?
To the recruiter. The second part of the question, we'll jump into the manager.
So the first thing would be is to just focus your time on speaking to the candidates that you've got in your in your database. So within that organization, they'll probably have three or four skill sets they recruit for all the time. And I would just get on the phone and just spend as much time as possible speaking to those candidates, learning about the jobs that they do, the career paths that they've had, the career progression that they want. Because if you're working in any niche, understanding where people have been and where people want to go is absolutely key, not only for building relationships with candidates, but understanding what clients will be looking for and the skill sets that they'll want for people to have, and also what they might want them to get to develop in the future as well. So that would be my first tip. Just spend as much time as possible speaking to candidates. In my first probably 6 weeks in recruitment, I was just give every day I was given the list of a new skill set, and I'd be given like 50 credit controllers, 50 management accountants. And my goal at the end of the day was to learn to know everything about that skill set and to be able to be tested on it by my manager. And really quickly, I became really skilled in the discipline that I recruited for.
Yeah, I had something similar, and I was lucky that I was bred into a big agency in Robert Walters where they had all the formalized training in place. But I come across many, many businesses that just don't have that. They're just taking a punt at it in this hot marketplace. What would you do next?
So the second thing is once you've got those candidates, you then want to map where they work and where they have worked. And this is where, to an extent, for all my ability as a consultant, you've really got to be helped by the agency that you work with, is that ideally they've got a specialism or a niche, and you've got to find two or three skill sets that you want to develop within that niche. Because
how
you
do
can't
you go about that?
Well, I'd probably just do a quick search on the system, and I'd look at all the jobs that they've had in the last year, and I'd look at the ones that they've had most of, and that would give you a pretty good indicator of the types of jobs that come into that organization. And you, from that analysis, you get two types of skill set that you want to be recruiting for. The first one is the type of jobs that they get lots of, that they fill lots of. And that tells me that we get jobs and we can find candidates easily. And that's always the sign of a market where you can make money quickly. The second one is find the skill sets where they have had lots of jobs, but they haven't filled many. And that tells you that that's probably a candidate short market. And so what you do is you split your sourcing time into two areas. One is finding candidates where you know you're going to have jobs. And the second one is just put a little bit of time every day to try and hunt down, find out where some of those niche candidates live, because you know that when you get those candidates, you know there's going to be jobs that come in that no one else is going to have, and that's going to give you the opportunity to either go and find opportunities for them or make money with your colleagues.
If it's a newer agency and they don't have a massive track record, is it a similar process? You don't have a database to work off, or are you working off, I don't know, the internet or LinkedIn or...
Yeah, I mean, I would probably, I mean, most agencies have signed up to a big database. So within, if you signed up to a job board in itself can tell you the types of skill sets that are in a market. At the heart of this comes down to having some focus, you know, and that's either a geographical focus or a skill set focus, or in some markets, both. And try not to look for jobs, but find candidates that are in demand. What you can also do is go to job boards and pick a geographical area and see what jobs are out there in the market, you know, see what people are recruiting for. And you can filter those by direct adverts, so companies that are recruiting. But you can also filter by the skill sets that agencies are recruiting for. And again, you can see where there's lots of demand. What you can't see as well is sort of which jobs are being filled or not filled, just because you don't get access to how many jobs are reposted and that sort of stuff. But you should get a gauge of what skills are in demand in the market.
So step one is speak to lots of people. Step two is refine who you should be speaking to. Are we at a point now where we're ready to just try and pick up a job?
Yeah, I mean, it shouldn't be too much. So how you do this depends on where you what you do. So if you're working a contract desk, I'd probably focus on taking some references of candidates that I'm intending to work with and represent. So if you screened a candidate and registered them, and what I mean by that is you've had a 15 or 20 minute conversation about what they're looking for from their next role, you're in a position to maybe take some references or testimonials on those individuals, and that will then get you speaking to managers that have hired the types of people that you're meeting. The second way I'd do that, if I was working a perm desk, as references are harder to take, is as I'm speaking to candidates, I'd be writing down the names of companies where those candidates have worked and maybe where they're working today. And so if I've spoken to 50 candidates, I've probably got a list of 70, 80 companies in my local area that recruit the skill sets of the candidates that I recruit for. And at that point, what I'm going to do is be thinking about how can I use candidates to showcase my capability. I hesitate when it says, are we trying to pick up a job? Because I think that's where a lot of recruiters and new recruiters fall down, is they pick up the phone wanting a job. And I always liken that the same into going to a nightclub and just approaching a woman and going, would you like to have sex tonight?
Does that not work?
No, I know people that have tried it, but last time I checked, I needed to speak to people quite a lot before they even liked me, let alone thought about going on a date with me. So you've got to think about
young people don't even do it in a nightclub anymore. They're just on the
apps,
aren't they?
Well, exactly. I mean, in theory, you think about it.
That's a boat I missed, by the way.
Yeah. So that sort of swipe left, swipe right. Like you're just saying, do you want to go on a date? Do you want to go on a date? That doesn't really work. That's not how relationships work in real life. And if we were digital recruitment and there's no humans in it, and there is agencies out there now that really just allow clients to swipe left and swipe right on candidates, that's fine. But we're a human centric business. And so it's as much, it's not about picking up jobs. It's about finding people that can use you and will use you or have the ability to use you, that you want to invest time in nurturing those relationships on.
Yeah, I always find that when you're doing those type of calls, although it's not important not to be salesy, it's very important to ask the direct question at the end. If I do find somebody like this, is it worth sending to you? Would you be interested in seeing that? And just holding the silence. Do you think that works?
Yeah, I mean, I think it does definitely work. And I think it's trying to give the client context of why you're doing that. And it's, I don't want to do that to pick up a job. What I want to do is know I can call you with that to demonstrate that I've listened and I'm credible and I'm committed to building a long-term relationship. And that's sort of the intent behind it, because clients are so skeptical of recruiter calls now, because it's like all they're trying to do is bash on the window and steal the food. Where actually what we're trying to do is just sort of say, look, I'm good at what I do. It's more of a marketing centric approach, which is about gaining knowledge and establishing credibility, than a sales approach, which is getting commitment today. And then there's shades of gray in this. So it may be you're more direct than I am. And a lot of that depends upon your awareness or understanding of how urgent or likely they are to have a need. So for instance, if I know they're growing heavily and I know that they've already got active vacancies on it and they're struggling to recruit, I might be more direct, which is, if I find someone, shall I call you? Because maybe, you're recruiting.
And maybe you might have done a bit of research to identify that before the call.
Yeah, exactly. But if it's an initial call and I know nothing about them and I don't know whether they're going through change, just sort of you want to take it a little bit slower, you know, because they haven't given you any indication that they're looking to recruit today. And it's just trying to be respectful of where the client is in the buying cycle. And so rather than assuming everyone's wanting to buy now.
What's the next piece once we're warming some clients? Are we specking out clients? Are we specking out candidates?
I'm a believer in specking out candidates, but again, it's about the intent. For me, it's about showcasing the candidates that I've got and demonstrating I'm using the knowledge that I've got about that client to show I'm credible and professional. If I've got a candidate, have you got any jobs? That's pretty pointless, and you're just no better than a cold call. You might as well go do phone sales, going, hi, is your mobile phone contract up for renewal? You know, sort of 1 in 8 times you're going to get through to someone, because every 1 in 8 people is within 3 months of their mobile phone contract being renewed, assuming a 24-month contract length. But what we're trying to do is it's how you use that. And so it's not just about specking candidates in, it's about sharing market intelligence, sharing insights that they've seen in the market. And it's sort of trying to box a bit clever around how do you stay front of mind with someone without being pushy. The analogy I often use is where it's a bit like you've been on a first date. And how do you keep in touch after the second date? You can't text them going, thinking of you, because that would be scary. What you do is you think, oh, yeah, we spoke about that song and I've just heard that song on the radio, or we spoke about this football team and this is the football team, or we spoke. Look, you think of things that are relevant to the conversations you've had and try and initiate contact by leveraging that information. And it's no different than we are with our friends. When picking up the phone to our friends, if we know they've had a hard week at work, or we know they're not enjoying their job, you go, how's work, mate? If you know they support a football team, you talk about the football result. It's no different about that bit. It's about contacting someone with a purpose that demonstrates you've got knowledge and you're using that knowledge to develop the relationship.
The last time you were on, we discussed whether a meeting was important or not. We went through some of that. And you mentioned it really depends if you're running a nationwide business or if you're running a relationship-driven local business. Do you feel that the meeting comes before you're showing the product or after?
Well, it's part of the same process. So often what you would do is you'll showcase product to demonstrate your credibility, and you seek a meeting to then develop that credibility further and develop that relationship further. So they're both tools. The phone, email, they're all tools with which to sort of build trust and influence with that particular line manager. And so I'm a big believer in face-to-face. I especially if you're looking for any sort of form of exclusivity or you're looking to sell a retainer, most people are going to be more likely to give that sort of commitment when they've met someone face-to-face. And I think also in today's world, face-to-face is a key part of differentiating yourself from agencies that are just wanting to be CV machines. Mm-hmm. And because I think if you're a CV machine, that can be outsourced to any part of the world. You know, anyone in the world can get a CV, but it's that consultative, higher value, partner-oriented relationship is where you want to go if you want to not only do well, but I think feel like your job's a little more meaningful than just sending 654 kilobytes of data across five times a day.
Sure. So I'm the client here, and I really like Alex Moyle. He's a nice fella, and he came and he got to know me, and he knew his stuff. He's a bit green, but yeah, I think I'll give him a whirl. So I've given you a job. How can you make that job into other jobs?
Well, I think just delivering a good service. And what I mean by that is firstly, setting a realistic expectation of how likely you are to find someone. There's a great video on YouTube, which is basically a girl is hazed by her colleagues, and she picks up the phone and the client goes, oh, yeah, you need an anesthesiologist, right? Okay. Oh, and you need them to be able to do brain surgery. Oh, and you also have a vet on board, so you'd like them to be able to treat a cow. And the girl is going, yeah, we've got that, we've got that, we've got that. So just telling a client how realistic it is to find someone. When it's going to be hard, tell them it's going to be hard. And that's the first thing. Second thing is just to keep in touch with a client through the process. This is what I've done today. This is what I've worked on. This is how many people I've spoken to. And just talk the client through what you're doing day to day to help them find that person. Very often, most recruiters keep what they do invisible to clients. What they think we do is we've got this big cupboard of people in the corner, and we just sit there and we go and open the cupboard, pull someone out and send them over. Or actually, we the more we talk about what we do and how hard we work at doing it, the more a client will see that you're actually working hard for them.
And when we look at the getting, you work in that process, you have a shortlist. Working your way through that shortlist is surely a way that we can develop extra business as well, right?
Yeah. I mean, once you're working through a shortlist, you're developing relationships with candidates. So the more senior you, if you work with senior level candidates, they may well be hiring managers themselves. Junior level candidates can give you insights on change that's going on with their own organizations, whether they've got temps on site, whether they've got people that have recently left, they'll tell you the name of their boss. You know, so sometimes just having one job to work. I think what Bill Borman spoke about, how the difference between Google and and sort of LinkedIn and recruiters is that they realize they're in the data business and recruiters think they're in the CV sending business. And if you look at the amount of data that you're exposed to every day, there's no shortage of insight on the market and who might recruit, what skill sets people recruit in, who could be recruiting in the upcoming months. But we just don't see it like that. We just see it as who can we send across to a job today. So,
and I think if we jump into what that means to a junior recruiter on a desk, it means that when you're looking, when you're getting these applications in from these people, have a look at where they're working and you can be sure that a vacancy is going to come up in their business within the next few months if they're applying for this job.
Yeah, definitely. And this is probably my biggest tip to success for new recruiters is the whole industry has evolved to where we only want to speak to candidates when we've got a job for them. Where I was brought up with the phrase, it's sort of candidates are for life, not just for Christmas. And so when someone's interested in a job today, even if they don't get the job you're talking to them about, they're still in the market and interested. So nurturing that relationship, keeping in touch with them, calling them to say, I don't have anything else, but I haven't forgotten about you. All of those things enable you to build big, deeper relationships with candidates and make it more likely that they are going to share market intelligence with you as and when they get it. They may not share with you where they are actually at interview, but they'll probably almost definitely, well, that's a bit qualified there, they will share with you where they have interviewed and been unsuccessful. And that is as good a market knowledge as where they're interviewing today.
Right. Okay. And we could actually go into a lot more depth on all of that. And I'm sure you will on your own community. And it'll be really valuable if anybody wants to join in. So the next part of the question I have, Alex, is, Alex, you've now got your big boy pants on. You've built up the desk a little bit. You've kind of divided your clients into A, Bs, and Cs. The boss is saying, "Hey, you've got too much. You're not. You know, we need to grow, and we need to hire somebody under you." What does that process look like for a new manager bringing a newbie into a desk? And how can you set that new person up from success while maintaining your own success? Because isn't it an area where that biller can sometimes struggle? I've heard often and often that it's gone wrong. Do you have a formalized way of advising people on that?
Yeah, absolutely. I think that there's a number of things to it. Is that the firstly, if you've got one person reporting to you, they are going to learn most from watching you do the job. And what I mean by that is that if someone's watching you do the job, you get back to basics. You work like you were told to work when you started. You take a job spec the way you were taught to take a job spec. What often managers become successful, but also as they become successful as a biller, they've got shortcuts. They cut corners that aren't quite what they were taught, but they're good enough to get around from it. The problem is that the new recruits pick up those habits and they look at their manager and go, hey, well, he does that. Well, why would I need to do that? And so sometimes the hardest thing for a top biller becoming a manager is actually having to start doing the job like they know it should be done, but they sort of get away with not doing it.
That was my biggest weakness.
For example, planning. For example, having a target list. For example, doing some new business development every week. You might not do the same amount because you've already got existing business, but if you don't even have a lead list, how can you get someone else to have a lead list? So that's the first thing. Second thing is that put them in a space where they're going to be successful. What I see time and again is the manager will sit there and keep all the warm clients and keep all the warm territory. And what they'll do is they'll send their rookie out to like Aberystwyth and go on then, find some jobs. Or here's a Latvian-speaking .NET developer in Aberdeen with 2 days a week in Truro. If you find someone, I'll share the fee with you. And don't get them to do anything that you wouldn't do. So for instance, if you wouldn't work the job that you're giving them to work, don't give it to them because they're not as good as you. Give them something to source for where there's a good chance that they're going to get success, because it's not about them making a fee. It's about their belief that they're going to be successful in recruitment. And every day that goes by that they don't find a candidate or get an interview or make a placement, those lights go down. Over the years, I've trained thousands of rookies. And what I see is the day one, they come in and their eyes are shining bright, which is, I'm going to be amazing. I believe I'm going to be successful in recruitment. And every day that goes past, they don't make a placement, those lights dim. And eventually what happens is they don't have light shining out. They've got black holes shining inwards, you know, and so your job is to help them be successful in whatever way they can. There's an argument, and there'll be old school leaders out there that go, well, in my day, I was given the yellow pages and I had to scrub my teeth with stones from the road and I didn't, no one helped me. And that's fine. But if you want to grow and you want to be scalable and you want to grow quickly, it's harder today to get started than it was back in 20 years ago. The market's more saturated. There's more competition. There's different opportunities open to clients. Give them an opportunity to be successful. And as that belief grows, you then filter in some of the more difficult parts of the job around business development, standing on their own 2 feet, et cetera, et cetera.
Fantastic. Box office. I love it. Good man.
Yeah.
That is it for today.
Brilliant.
Knock it out of
10
the
minutes
park.
of power.
Thanks again, and we will see you again soon.
No worries, Dalton. Thanks a lot, and I appreciate it. And yeah,
oh,
we'll
give me a
catch
shout
up
out.
soon.
What's this community called?
It's called recruitinggym.com.
Recruitinggym.com.
So it's
Amazing.
launching on the on the tw on the 12th of
Are
January.
we going to
So
have a Facebook community as well?
no, the idea is the community exists on the website. So
All right.
it's a private, imagine it as a private Facebook group where we have topics. I share best practice tips. I've got loads of handouts, and people can ask questions of me and the other coaches in the gym to get answers to the problems that they've got running their business. So
Fantastic. Brilliant. Thanks for coming on, Alex.
No worries. See you soon. Take care. Take care now. See you soon. Bye.
The podcast you just heard was made using Anchor. Ever thought about making your own podcast? Anchor makes it really easy for anyone to get started. It's a one-stop shop for recording, hosting, and distributing podcasts. Best of all, it's 100% free. Sign up now at anchor.fm/new. That's anchor.fm/new to get started.